Welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Well, welcome back, Jennifer. I think you've basically moved into Southwestern University's campus. I see you here all the time
now.
Is
anyone going to notice if I'm hanging out in the library?
They'd love to see you hang out there more.
It is great to be back on campus. Thank you for hosting me in the special sound studio here in the library. It's great to be here and have our higher ed discussions here. Now, we're talking today about understanding deeply. I mean, and it kind of picks up on our episode last week. We were talking about learning and unlearning and really bringing meaning to what we're learning as opposed to just memorizing something and kind of moving on. And so this seems to follow kind of naturally to talk about sort of what it means to understand something truly deeply.
Absolutely. And in fact, even last week when we were talking, we used the phrase, you know, this idea of mindlessly mimicking versus making meaning. And when I think about what deep understanding is all about, it's all about making meaning. Now, no one is going to come out and say, yeah, I don't think people should understand and make meaning. The real question that is more thought-provoking is, how do you understand deeply? What is the processes? And this is, of course, a chapter, one of the elements of our Five Elements book is understanding deeply. And there are a lot of ways of thinking about this, and I'll just start by throwing out that when we talk about deep understanding, a lot of people think it means going from kind of nothing and delving down into the depths. That's not what we're talking about.
What are you talking about?
What we're talking about is a habit of living. That's what education is all about. It's instilling good habits of the mind. This is a habit where just incrementally, Jennifer, incrementally, just understand a little bit deeper than you already do on whatever it is that you're thinking about, and then understand that. And then if you keep doing that incrementally, you get deeper and deeper.
So can I tell you what my first response is? And it feels like a very sort of old school patterned response, but my first thought was, but what if it's not right? What if my like down one level of understanding, what if it's not right?
Well, that's why you want to make sure if you understand something truly deeply, it will be difficult for you to delve and do something incorrectly, because if you've made meaning of it, that meaning should allow you. Now, by the way, we talked about failing a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, getting it wrong and not getting it right is all part of the process. But at the end of the day, you're hoping for true understanding and true meaning. But it's incremental. And so you can take something, for example, that you consider you're an expert at and now just declare. So in your case, it would be broadcasting.
Okay.
You are an expert broadcaster. No one's going to deny that. Well.
Well, I can think of a few people who could, but.
I won't deny that. And now say to yourself, okay, I've been in this business for a long time and so forth. I am now going to assert I don't know this area completely. Now it puts you in a different mindset. It puts you in the mindset of curiosity. Say, how can I understand this field deeper? How can I make connections? How can I build my intuition? How can I see something that I've taken for granted in a different, more nuanced way? All of a sudden, the world opens up the moment you realize you're not an expert. So one exercise you can do is take an issue for which you really are an expert or consider yourself an expert and say, declare, don't ask, declare, I am not expert on this, and now force yourself to go deeper. That's a habit of forcing you to go even deeper than you already are.
You talk about habits and habits. That definitely feels like acquiring a new habit, because that doesn't feel like something that comes naturally. What feels natural is, oh, I read that book. I got it. I got moving right along.
So, of course, when we have our weak spots, the places where we want to grow, we're always doing that. I'm suggesting as one habit is take something that you know really well, declare yourself a non-expert, even though you really are, and now see it anew. That's one way of doing it. Another way, by the way, so I'll throw another thing out there, is to focus on simple things. This is something that is so salient in mathematics, but I think it's foundational in every area. So the thought of understanding simple things deeply, which is something in our society with the information superhighway moving at the speed of light, no one bothers to slow down and say, hey, here's something simple. Oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. You don't got it. In fact, last week you talked about multiplication 7 times 7. The truth is we don't understand multiplication as well as we could. And if we did, we would understand mathematics better.
We don't understand multiplication. Oh, no.
But it's an opportunity for growth. We never say no to growth. It's an invitation for all of our listeners to say, I'm going to go back and really go deep in multiplication. But take a subject like calculus, which is my favorite, of course. Calculus, if you've seen a textbook recently, it's about 1,600 pages of stuff. But really, calculus just has two ideas.
What are those?
Well, do you want me to tell you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Calculus, okay, the first idea of calculus is that distance equals rate times time.
Okay.
So distance is equal to the rate times the time,
uh-huh.
Which means if you know the rate and you know the time, you could find the distance.
Okay.
Well, actually, that's the second idea of calculus. The first idea is that rate equals distance divided by time.
Okay.
If you go 100 miles in 2 hours, your rate is 100 divided by 2, or 50 miles per hour. And if I say to you that you're traveling at a rate of 60 miles per hour and you go for 3 hours, then you can figure out the distance. You multiply and get 180 miles.
Yeah.
That's calculus. That's all. Now, the only thing that we do in calculus that's a little bit more interesting is that instead of finding those rates, which are average rates over the 3 hour period or the 2 hour period, here we're looking for instantaneous rate, how fast you're going at any instant in time. So that makes it a little bit more challenging. But if you understood those two basic ideas, the rest of calculus is a piece of cake. Two ideas make up a tome of 1,600 pages.
So here's a question. How come that is not often how calculus is presented in the classroom with, you know, I'm wondering if a topic such as that I think a lot of people bring some fear to or some uncertainty to or some anxiety to.
That requires unlearning.
Right. As we have talked about previously, if it's presented that way, that doesn't seem so scary. And I want to understand that deeply.
Right. Because it's intriguing.
But if somebody brings me a big fat calculus book and drops it on the desk and says, look at page 830 and I'm not into that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's because we have to realize that there's evolution of thinking and we have to start where people are. If you want to move an individual, you have to start where they are and move them from there.
Let's move to the chessboard, Ed.
Yes.
And let's go back.
Great segue. Oh, we're so smooth. Oh, we're smooth.
Let's go back to last week's math hanger, which I've thought about it. I've formulated my answer, but remind everybody what it is.
Very quickly, you have an ordinary 8-square by 8-square chessboard, and you have a bunch of dominoes. Each domino can cover exactly 2 consecutive squares perfectly. And you can place these dominoes on the chessboard either horizontally or vertically. The first warm-up question is, can you cover the entire chessboard with these dominoes so that no two dominoes are on top of each other and no domino is sticking out on the edges? What's your guess to the warm-up question?
Yes. So I say yes to that.
And you're absolutely right. And if you just try it, you literally can do it. It's not very difficult at all. So congratulations. Then the actual question was, suppose that we take that regular 8x8 chessboard and now we remove the northeastern corner and the diagonally opposite square, which is the southwestern square. So remove those two squares.
Yes.
So now it has 8 times 8, which is 64, minus 2, so 62 squares. Can now you still cover that board with these, you know, dominoes that covers 2 squares at a time, horizontally or vertically, but having no domino hang off and having no 2 dominoes overlap?
So I'm saying yes, you can. And I think that because it's still an even number, but you will have some dominoes will have to be horizontal and some will have to be vertical. They're not going to overlap or hang off.
Now, I want you to take a look at a chessboard and I want you to tell me what you notice about the opposite diagonal corners. What about the diagonal corners? Like,
well, they're the same color.
They're the same color. Now, when you put down a domino piece, it's going to cover 2 consecutive squares.
Right.
Any 2 consecutive squares on a chessboard are going to have what kind of color?
Opposite.
Opposite. So if I remove 2 black squares, how is it possible if each domino is going to cover exactly 1 black and 1 white square if I don't have enough white squares? And so the answer is it cannot be done. It's actually impossible. And the mathematical proof is that every domino would cover exactly 1 black and 1 white square. And since we removed 2 black squares, there's no way we can do it.
What's interesting to me is also my path to try to get to an answer was one that was very different than your path to getting to a solution.
But here is the key thing to our conversation: understanding deeply. Maybe people never really noticed that the diagonals of a chessboard have the exact same color. One diagonal is all black, one diagonal is all white. And if you start to look at a chessboard, you see the hidden structure. So now we've just, for our audience, we've now allowed them to go deeper to the understanding of just a chessboard. That's the power of deep understanding.
I'm also realizing about deep understanding is that was kind of fun.
Well, it's because you are here and I'm here and we're fun people. Education and learning can be fun.
That's another theme of these episodes of Higher Ed. And Ed, I want to thank you for helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. You can always find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. And one more instruction before we go. If you have a topic that you would like us to talk about in a future episode of Higher Ed, go ahead and email that to me. It's just jstayton, S-T-A-Y-T-O-N, at KUT.org. Send that on in and we'll talk about it likely in a future episode.
With a J in front. You keep forgetting the J.
Did I? Jstayton.
Very complicated.
At KUT.org. Send that on in and we'll discuss that in a future episode of Higher Ed. I'm Jennifer Stayton with KUT News.